I want to walk you all through one of the most stunning foreign policy scandals in recent American history, because the Trump administration is getting called out by Republican senators, European leaders, Ukrainian leaders, reporters across the world for pushing a 28-point quote-unquote peace plan that was drafted by the Kremlin. It originated in Moscow, and I can prove that throughout this video. It seems like Russia leaked this to the U.S. media to play the hand of the Trump admin, and the Trump admin didn't know what to do. Secretary of State Marco Rubio was scrambling over himself, telling Republican senators behind closed doors that this came from Russia. He said, this came from Russia. It did not originate from us. After Ukrainian leaders, people like Zelensky, said, we're not going to sign this, now the United States is scrambling even further. Secretary of State Marco Rubio reversed course and is claiming that this did come from the United States. I want to walk you all through statements from Republican senators calling this a Russian wish list, which it quite literally is. It cedes a lot of Ukrainian land. It makes the Ukrainian army smaller. It sets a cap on it. And it allows Russia to just rearm over the next few years with no real enforcement mechanisms, no real prevention. It says Ukraine can never join NATO. They have to weaken their alliances. We'll go through all of this. But it started off in perhaps the dumbest way possible. Steve Witkoff, the United States special envoy to Ukraine, accidentally posted something that he meant to send privately in a message. So Barak Ravid posts, scoop. The United States secretly drafting new plan to end Ukraine war. David Lawler and me report for Axios. This was on November 19th. Steve Witkoff, the special envoy to Ukraine, replies at the bottom here. He must have got this from Kay. Now, reporters quickly put this together. It looks like Steve Witkoff tweeted what was meant to be a DM. Now, this is very similar to what Trump did a few months ago when he meant to DM Pam Bondi, but he sent a public post talking about, you know, prosecuting Adam Schiff and Letitia James and James Comey. We've talked about that a lot. Half of the administration doesn't even know how to use social media. They don't know the difference between a direct message and a public post, but that adds some context. Steve Witkoff meant to DM, but posted publicly, he must have got this from Kay. This is where the story really starts. So it looks like Steve Witkoff tweeted what was meant to be a DM, saying the content for this much-discussed Axios story must have come from, quote, K. Almost certainly this refers to Kirill Dmitriev, who was quoted in the story. But it seems the Russian side is leaking this for a reason. So even Steve Witkoff admits, like, this is the Russian side leaking this peace plan, leaking this story, and the story may not be coming from the United States, or the peace plan may not be coming from the United States. They say, also seems like Dim Philby doesn't know how Twitter works, but is nonetheless confident of his ability to end the war. Witkoff's comment was very quickly deleted, by the way, but not before being screen captured. But it is quite strange, given there is a 28-point peace plan in place, which I read about in an outlet relying on a Russian operative's say-so. So a Russian operative is talking about this peace plan. Then several U.S. senators said Marco Rubio told them this 28-point peace plan to end the Russia-Ukraine war was not Trump's idea, but rather a wish list from the Russians that was leaked to the press. So this is where you see Russia's strategy here. They drafted a wish list, then they leaked it to the press to force the hand of the United States, and they claim this was the U.S. peace plan, and they know that the Trump admin and Marco Rubio want to save face and don't want to seem dumb, and that they're likely going to take credit for this. And that's what's happening right now. Senator Mike Rounds, a Republican from North Dakota, according to PBS NewsHour reporter Nick Schifrin, said Rubio called him and other lawmakers and made it very clear that we are the recipients of a proposal that was delivered to one of our representatives. It is not our recommendation. It is not our peace plan. We even have the video of Senator Mike Rounds saying this. This one is important. This is where the administration's story really begins to unravel.
Secretary Rubio did make a phone call to us this afternoon. I think he made it very clear to us that we are the recipients of a proposal that was delivered to one of our representatives. It is not our recommendation. It is not our peace plan. It is a proposal that was received, and as an intermediary, we have made arrangements to share it, and we did not release it. It was leaked. It was not released by our members or our representatives.
Okay, so now this Republican senator is openly contradicting the story of the administration. The administration is now claiming that this was authored by the United States. So look at these headlines that happened 24 hours apart. Rubio insists U.S. authored the Ukraine peace plan. The comment from the Secretary of State Marco Rubio came after a group of U.S. lawmakers claimed that he said the plan was a Russian initiative. 24 hours ago, the headline says, lawmakers say Rubio distanced U.S. from peace plan. Honestly, I think Marco Rubio, out of anybody in the administration, obviously he is soulless, he's really fucking up, but I think out of anybody in the administration, he understands that Ukraine is the one the U.S. is supposed to ally with. Trump is clearly giving these pro-Russia directives. I mean, I'm sure Stephen Miller, Steve Witkoff, all these people are bumbling around. I've seen Marco Rubio talk about this war in a rational way, but that was in 2022, before he was fully beholden to the MAGA fan base. We then get more and more clues that this was drafted by Russia. Just keep in mind, the United States is legit one of the strongest countries in the world, even though it's hard to be super, super patriotic under the Trump administration. I'm still proud to be an American, and I still think the United States has a lot of military leverage, economic leverage, and overall soft power that we could use. Like, 2 years ago, we had a lot of respect on the world stage. Obviously, it's diminished, but the United States does have leverage. Biden was using some of that leverage to bring together a coalition of countries and fight this war. What Donald Trump has done is followed the Russian framework time and time again since he took office, even before he took office. But he's bullied Zelensky into accepting his shitty deals while giving Putin as much rope as Putin needs to continue to kill and slaughter Ukrainians. I go through this all the time, but I think it needs to be repeated. When Donald Trump got into office, he immediately floated this really shitty mineral deal, and then he yelled at Zelensky in the Oval Office. You all remember it. After that happened, Zelensky agreed to the mineral deal. Russia continued to strike and kill. So then Donald Trump tried to get a 30-day ceasefire. Ukraine agreed, and then Russia kind of agreed. So Ukraine lays down its arms. Russia continued to strike and kill. So then Donald Trump says, I'm going to broker a meeting between these two countries. He tries to get Ukraine there, and Zelensky comes. Zelensky is down to chat and do whatever he needs to do. Russia doesn't. They continue to strike and kill and invade. Russia is the bad faith actor, and they have been time and time again, but Trump has given them everything they've needed, all the leeway they've needed. Then we begin to piece the clues together. The third point of the 28-point peace plan reads, quote, it is expected that Russia will not invade neighboring countries and NATO will not expand further. Quote, it is expected is a clunky passive construction in English. The Russian version, Ozidaihaisha, I don't know how to say that, makes more sense and is a familiar verb form. Other Russianisms that appear to have crept into the text include ambiguities, to enshrine, random verbiage that just doesn't quite fit in the context until you translate it to Russian or look at the original Russian text, rather, and you see, wait a minute, the wording makes way more sense when it's in Russian. The White House has acknowledged that Kirill Dmitriev, Vladimir Putin's envoy, wrote the proposal together along with Steve Witkoff. The pair hammered out the text during a meeting in Miami, apparently. Ukraine and its European partners were excluded from the drafting process. That, in and of itself, is awful. And I just want to go back to what these senators are saying. Senator Roger Wicker, who is another Republican, said, quote, the so-called peace plan has real problems, and I am highly skeptical it will achieve peace. Ukraine should not be forced to give up its lands to one of the most flagrant war criminals in Vladimir Putin. The size and disposition of Ukraine's armed forces is a sovereign choice for its government and people, and any assurances provided to Putin should not reward his malign behavior or undermine the security of the United States. In particular, any suggestion that we can pursue arms control with a serial liar and killer like Putin should be treated with great skepticism. Very well said. Sometimes I wish the old school Republicans were the ones driving not only the foreign policy, but I think we all wish it was the old school Republicans. But when it comes to the Russia-Ukraine war, every time I hear like a Mike Pence or one of these old school Republicans who I disagree with on everything else, I'm like, wait a minute, they understand that Russia is the bad guy. Where is this old mindset that Russia is the bad guy? Remember when Reagan was like, tear down that wall? Now it's like, huh, maybe we'll just use their peace plans verbatim. But Senator Roger Wicker is pointing to a few things. First of all, this Russian wish list essentially just says Ukraine has to cede large parts of their territory in Donetsk or the Zaporizhia region, large parts of their territory that are key for their defense. Ukraine also has to put a cap on the amount of people in their military. Roger Wicker says it pretty well. The size and disposition of Ukraine's armed forces is a sovereign choice. Very well said. How big your army is, or how small your army is, or how you run your army is a sovereign choice to be made in Ukraine. What happens when we start ceding that type of ground, ceding those types of decisions to Russia? Russia is essentially changing the constitution, changing everything about Ukraine. That is Russian influence directly. And if Russia got this opportunity to sit back and rearm, they would invade again. They've done this time and time again. Vladimir Putin has genuinely a very, very repetitious habit of lying to leaders, ending a war temporarily, then relaunching that war when it serves his interest. He's done it in 2008, in 2014, in 2022. Time and time again, he pauses a war when it serves their interest, then reignites that war because he is a bad faith actor. So the main objective for this peace plan, when we actually get one, is to make sure that Ukraine has security guarantees and that Russia can never, ever reinvade without having maximum damage inflicted on them. Donald Tusk, the Prime Minister of Poland, said, quote, "Together with the leaders of Europe, Canada, Japan, we have declared our readiness to work on the 28-point plan despite some reservations. However, before we start our work, it would be good to know for sure who was the author of the plan and where it was created." I think that's a fair question. Donald Trump then responds early this morning. Lord have mercy, it is a long schizo post. He said, "The war between Russia and Ukraine is a violent and terrible one that, with strong and proper U.S. and Ukrainian leadership, should have never happened." What? U.S. and Ukrainian leadership? Dude, he's already burden shifting so hard. Russian leadership is the one that caused this war. Why is he implying that it's U.S. and Ukrainian leadership? He says, "It began long before I took office for a second term. During the sleepy Joe Biden administration, it has only gotten worse. If the 2020 election was not rigged and stolen, blah, 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 radical Democrats, Putin would have never attacked." You're just wrong. You're just wrong. Putin's attacked multiple times throughout the past few decades. It was only when he saw Sleepy Joe in action that he said, "Now is my chance. The rest is history," and so it continues. He says, "I inherited a war." Okay, so there's no real, I don't even want to read the entire thing. There's no real policy proposals or solutions. He just is whining. He's whining all over. Here, Finland's former prime minister says it in a very, very succinct way. These are people who have actual skin in the game, people who are in Europe and have Russia looming over them.
Way out of the conflict.
Way out of the conflict. The way out of the conflict is to Russia to leave Ukraine. That's the way out of the conflict. Thank you.
Walks away like a badass. Very well said. Marco Rubio, remember, said 13 hours ago the peace proposal was authored by the U.S. This is him officially biting the bullet and saying it is a strong framework for ongoing negotiations. Russia just got the win. They just got the U.S. to concede to their framework, and Republican senators are sounding the alarm. European leaders are sounding the alarm. Donald Tusk is like, where the hell did this come from? I'm going to leave it there. Donald Tusk seems like Donald Trump, his like alternate reality, good version, the good version of him, the good ending. I'll leave it there, but I love you all. I'll see you in the next video, and peace out.